Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, and also PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com, covering live events, breaking news, editorials, flashbacks, trivia, and all kinds of more content every day, both PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com. Check them out for original content on a daily basis. Speaking of original content on a daily basis, this is the PW Torch Livecast on Monday, January 19th, 2017. It is just seconds after Monday Night Raw ended, live from Little Rock, Arkansas. My report on the program is posted up at pwtorch.com or ad-free for PW Torch VIP members. And I am joined on today's episode by the real deal, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist for the past 15 plus years, Pat McNeil. Pat, welcome to the live cast.
Thank you, Wade. Hello, you people. Can you hear me loud and clear?
You are so loud and clear, Pat.
I'm sorry. I'll tone it down.
No, you're good.
Okay.
You're good. Excellent. Well, first, I'll preface this by saying I've been battling a cold the last 3 days. I got laryngitis last night after doing my VIP Wade Keller hotline. These are the first words I've spoken out loud since last night. I nursed my throat today, followed instructions online. I don't know how long it will last, but I am here to at least introduce the show, bring on Pat, and throw to callers. And I'll probably lean on Pat more than usual so that my vocal cords don't swell up in a painful way for the duration of this evening like happened last night. Pat, thumbs up or thumbs down on tonight's show?
Mostly thumbs up. I thought the end segment was good in getting Braun Strowman over as a killer, which seems to be they've done a better than average job the past few months of that. It was one of those shows though that would have been better with it would have been better as a 2-hour show. It's kind of like you watch Saturday Night Live. You know how they have that one skit that's just not funny right before the end of the show?
They usually
have a couple of those in the third hour of Raw.
So. Yeah, and boy, I mean, we got a long main event, but boy, it took a long time to get to that main event between the Charlotte Bailey segment and the main event also. I know the belief is, well, you know, people are going to stick around for the main event. I mean, my God, it's Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, yeah.
Yeah, and Sammy versus Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, and Braun Strowman, to be precise for those who didn't watch the show but are tuning in to listen to us, and welcome. But yeah, Pat, on a serious note, what did you think of the quality of the main event match, and what kind of story did they try to tell with each of the wrestlers in the match that stood out to you in terms of how they booked it and structured it and played it out?
Well, with each of the wrestlers, the story they told was, okay, the story they told is, you know, Sammy is still trying to get his hands on Braun Strowman, and he did. And, I mean, actually, you know, he hit a flying crossbody, and he got a 2-count on Braun Strowman, which, you don't see happen every day, and it was a big moment, and then Strowman came back and killed him. So Strowman gets the pin. Then Strowman picks up Sami Zayn like he's one of Ultimate Warrior's jobbers and carries him over to the announce table on the ramp. But Reigns and Rollins go to save Sami Zayn from Braun Strowman and chase him off, which is great, except that Owens and Jericho jump Reigns and Rollins, and it ends with Owens putting Reigns through a table, and he's literally the last guy left standing out of there, which I guess is what you do 2 weeks before the pay-per-view. The week before the pay-per-view, you'd have this challenger standing tall if you're following the WWE formula. But, I don't think that they did anything necessarily special. I think that they're counting on people being into Reigns and Rollins against Owens and Jericho, and I'm not sure that that's the case. I mean, it feels like the number three match on the pay-per-view, Wade, because it's the number three match on the pay-per-view.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. How do you grade the attempt to position Roman Reigns in a way that again, you know, with Vince McMahon, you wonder if he hears the boos. I mean, Little Rock, Arkansas exploded with boos when Reigns came out. They didn't warm up to him all that much later on. I don't know that having him be dismissive and patronizing to Sami Zayn, as obnoxious as Sami was written to be, is the way to get Roman over. The way to get Roman over is to have Seth be dismissive and patronizing to, I don't know if you can be both dismissive and patronizing at once, but let's say you can. And have Roman go, hey, come on, Seth. Sami hasn't been here before. We were all there once. Give the kid a break. I like his enthusiasm. And I guess that would be patronizing. And Seth would be dismissive.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, they could have booked Roman. My point, Pat, let me finish it, is they could have booked Roman.
Okay.
Well, I just can't talk over you right now because my throat. So let me just get to my point and not fight it. My point is with Roman, you want to strategically book him to seem like he's the nice guy in every situation he's in, because he gives off such a vibe that it's sort of the opposite. And again, it was just a little thing, but it jumped out to me. Like, you don't want Roman to be the guy making fun of Sammy just because he's enthusiastic that he's now in a main event.
Yeah. The problem is you could have Roman say that, but I have the feeling that somehow the way he says it will somehow come out as patronizing anyway. I understand what you're saying, they have not, you know, they want to make Roman. I mean, Vince McMahon wants to make Roman cool, but if you remember back 20 years ago when he was trying to make Diesel cool and proceeded to script him in a way that was just wrong. I don't have that faith in them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to open the show up to your phone calls. Give us a call, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. We'll talk about Jimmy Snuka, Kurt Angle, and Charlotte and Bailey, and much more. Some talking points for sure coming out of the show. We'd love to hear from you on that. Email us to pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That's pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. If you have a question but you can't call us live during the show, we certainly still welcome your input. We're going to go to our first commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to go right to phone calls. So now's the time to get in line on the phone banks. But first, a word from our sponsors. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week, and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we are back, and I do want to make note right now that we've got a big VIP sale going on, a 99-cent special. That's over 90% off the normal monthly rate to become a VIP member. We welcome returning members, and we welcome first-time VIP members. Find out what it's all about. For nearly 30 years, people have been paying for the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, and now PW Torch VIP membership. And there is a whole other level of analysis and in-depth coverage. 2 to 5 VIP exclusive podcasts per day, every day, come with a VIP membership with a top-tier staff and top features. Not only new shows and new content, but shows you won't find anywhere else, retro radio shows, including from the Pro Wrestling Spotlight show from the late 80s through the mid-90s. Every Thursday, a new Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show or Total Chaos radio show from the Attitude Era is added to the VIP website. It is mobile-friendly. You can stream it or download it or subscribe to the VIP podcast feed and get over 75 VIP podcasts per month on that feed. And you can subscribe on popular apps on iPhone and Android. You can also subscribe in iTunes. We get asked that all the time. And yes, our VIP podcast feed is available, and you can subscribe on popular podcast apps on iPhone and Android. Besides that, we have something very special going on this month. We are adding a new VIP RSS feed with the last 12 Royal Rumble post-show roundtables. These were previously the Night of Show analysis podcasts of the Rumble I hosted with Bruce Mitchell, and most often today's guest, Pat McNeil, also. And those shows are all going up over the next 2 weeks. We've got the first two up from 2004 and 2005, and we'll hit 2006 through 16 over the next couple weeks. And we'll also, of course, the night of the Royal Rumble this year, have another VIP exclusive pay-per-view roundtable. It is one of the main reasons people subscribe to VIP membership, is to have this roundtable discussion available to them the night of every major Sunday night pay-per-view. Now you can catch up on the last dozen or so that you missed when you go VIP for 99 cents, full access, including over 1,400 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter, where you can read every single Royal Rumble report that I've written since the first one back in 1988, roundtable reviews from the staff, and so much more. Check it out. The way to get a VIP membership for 99 cents is to go to pwtorch.com/govip. And again, that's pwtorch.com/govip, and simply enter Rumble 17, all lowercase, number 17, no spaces. That's Rumble 17 when you get to the coupon code box. It takes about a minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes to sign up. It is mobile friendly, and we'd love to have you as a member. For 99 cents, you get the last dozen or so Royal Rumble pay-per-view roundtables. And on top of that, a couple Wayback playbacks where Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, in real time over the course of 2 to 3 hours, provide real-time commentary. You can sync up with a replay of past Royal Rumbles. And Pat McNeil and Greg Parks just last weekend reviewed and rated and ranked the last 10 Royal Rumbles from worst to best. And so much more comes with VIP membership. So check it out. Full details. If you're not sold yet, go to pwtorch.com/govip. Go to the more info page, scroll down to read testimonials from dozens of happy VIP members, or just jump right to the order form page. And in 2 minutes, you've got your password. You're in. It's mobile friendly. It's ad free. It is unmatched insider archives. I could talk for 10 more minutes about all the things that come with it. It's basically close to 30 years of my professional life and all of our contributors and what they've done available to you instantly. In addition to new content every day, new newsletter every week, new articles that are VIP exclusive, new podcasts. Check it out. This is the exciting time of year to do so. We'd love to earn your business beyond that first 99 cent month. And by the way, you can take $9.01 off a 3 month or 1 year sub if you want to dive in for a longer term subscription. You do get a lower rate on a monthly basis if you average it out, if you do the 3 month or 1 year sub. But just 99 cents for a full month. I hope you'll check us out. All right, back to the show. Pat McNeil, longtime Torch columnist, is my guest co-host, carrying the conversation for the most part as we move forward here. And let's go to the phone banks and see what our callers have for us today. And Pat, why don't we start with area code. Let's just go to Craig from Illinois in the 630. Craig, thanks for calling. Go ahead with your question or comment for Pat and me.
Well, how you doing tonight? I'd like to be my happy self here, but unfortunately this show had a very somber feel to me. I mean, I'm just absolutely sickened and disgusted that they would honor this snooker, a man who murdered his girlfriend. And anybody out there says that he didn't do it, then you probably believe OJ's innocent and Charles Manson should be a free man because he didn't actually commit those killings back in the 60s. It was disgusting. Yeah. It's deplorable. I can't. This company is basically telling you that it's better to kill your girlfriend than say words that Hulk Hogan said. Yeah. Where do you stand on this?
I feel pretty much the same way. I mean, I don't know whether it was manslaughter or murder, but Nancy Argentina died and Jimmy Snuka was responsible for it. I don't blame, Tamina or Rock or members of Snuka's family for wanting to say nice things about him on Twitter. That's or just wanting to say goodbye to him. That's family. That's a different standard, but, I think maybe WWE should have stuck to the little graphic at the top of the show that said, said goodbye to Jimmy Snuka and laid off the video package. That's what they should have done. They didn't do that.
No, they didn't. And I'm in agreement. I thought that it almost seemed defiantly long, defiantly glorifying somebody who just 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago today, but very roughly 2 weeks ago, a judge decided not to take Snuka to trial, not because he determined it wasn't a valid case to take to trial to see if a jury would decide that he was culpable for the death of his girlfriend on murder charges, but because he had declining health. And this isn't like a story from a long time ago, a cold case of sorts. This is something that was fresh in the news. And WWE, it just to me felt like they were defiantly glorifying Snuka's career because they felt that they could get away with doing so. And I sensed when they went to the crowd reaction that some people in that crowd were actually a little uncomfortable because I think a lot more people than WWE realizes know, as Craig, you do, the preponderance of evidence and what went on that has so many people up in arms tonight on Twitter, and I agree with them.
Yeah, Mike on Twitter just said something to me. He's asking, why honor Jimmy Snuka when you erase Chris Benoit from WWE history? What's the difference? And that's, you know, he's got a good point there.
Yeah, and I'm hesitant. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily an invalid comparison, but part of the way I approach these things is let's judge this on its merits, not how something else was handled. Now, I agree that's a valid point to bring up for a discussion on hypocrisy, but whether Benoit was handled properly or not, whether Hogan and everything that happened with him was handled properly or not, I don't think that should shade the evidence we have and what feels right about this. So let's judge each individually, and then after that, we can talk about the hypocrisy or inconsistencies, and it's a valid point. But tonight, what they did with Snuka, it felt defiant to me. It felt like they were being stubborn about this, wanting to make this guy a hero, because they felt that they could. And I agree with you, Pat. Acknowledge it at the beginning. If you want Michael Cole, and don't put Michael Cole in the position to endorse this guy either. You know, it's like with heavy hearts and all that stuff. And I understand Tamina's in the company. And it's very possible she had a good relationship and he redeemed his life with her. But still, it wasn't comfortable for me as a viewer. And I think that there's other ways to pay tribute. There's ways for Tamina to pay tribute than to do it on national television, I guess is my point there.
Right. And as for the Hogan thing, don't worry, he'll be back too. So, yeah. I mean, I'm fully expecting that to happen in the next couple months.
Yeah.
Craig?
Yeah, it just sickens me. I mean, I don't know. The man killed a human being out there, and they're just glorifying him. You know, I'm just lost for words. You know,
I understand, Craig.
I don't want to glorify him, and I don't want to give him. I mean, we talked about him on the Bruce Mitchell audio show for about an hour, and I think Bruce did a very good job of balancing, you know, his impact on the industry with what he did in his life, and I think that perhaps we should leave it at that.
And I want to say this because this is a sticking point with me. People say, well, you're innocent until proven guilty. No, you're not. And Pat, you can speak to this with your law education. You are innocent in the eyes of the law until proven guilty. It's a procedural technicality that we cherish, which is you don't have to prove you're innocent. The other side has to prove you're guilty. But you're not literally innocent. You either in reality did it or didn't. It's just
that's
in the
true.
Eyes of the law, you're presumed innocent. And that's there's a vast difference between being innocent and being presumed innocent in the eyes of the law. Those are two very different things. It is a procedural, legal benefit that everybody is given, and it makes sense, and I will fight for that, but that doesn't mean that everybody is, by definition, innocent of something that they may have actually done just because they were never brought to trial. And there's so much information out there, Pat, that before people opine on this, and I was on Twitter tonight during Raw, kind of yelling at a few people about this, educate yourself on this topic. And a good way to do it, Bruce Mitchell is phenomenal. Pat, you can speak to the conversation you had with him when you were filling in for me because I was under the weather this weekend. Bruce knows his stuff when it comes to snooker. He knows what he did in this business that he deserves credit for, that had impact. And Bruce knows his history, and he sees it through a lens of reality and not shading it, not buying into the propaganda. And again, I encourage people to go VIP. And if for nothing else, if you're interested in this Jimmy Snuka story, and we'll have more on it in this week's Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter too. Yeah. James Caldwell, former assistant editor at the Torch, did a great job covering the lead up to the re-indictment of Snuka last year too. So there's a lot of content to be found.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. There was enough to, after over 30 years, bring this case, you know, back from the dead and bring it to trial and probably to convict him. I mean, you know, Jimmy Snuka, Jimmy Snuka had terminal cancer and, you know, may have suffered from dementia and probably wasn't going to make it through the trial. But I mean, there was enough real evidence there. This isn't speculation.
Yeah, exactly. Craig, I don't want to belabor the point. If you have something else you want to talk about, great. If you want to add to what we said in a new way, you can do that. Otherwise, we'll move forward to other callers.
Well, I was just going to add that, you know, it's very hypocritical when they're talking about, you know, the domestic violence angle. You know, how you don't see any more of that men on women violence in wrestling anymore in the WWE, and then you glorify the guy who did this. So. I mean, after all these years, though, I would like to know how much money was in that briefcase that Vince McMahon took into that Allentown, Pennsylvania area. That, just rumors, not. I'm just saying.
Thanks, Craig.
Brad.
It's a juicy, it is a fascinating story, and there's a lot written on it from people who have done a good job on it, and you should seek that out if you're interested in knowing the truth. Very good. Again, our phone number, we have tons of callers on hold, but you can get in line, 515-605-9345. We've got a bunch of emails too, but I want to add this one. VIP member Ted from Sacramento says, can you comment on the Jimmy Snuka vignette? It seems so completely inappropriate that they are celebrating his life, given that he was likely a murderer. I'd appreciate your thoughts on what seems so tone deaf to me. It also seems to me to portend Hulk Hogan coming back if this is how they treat their disgraced superstars. So just adding a little to that from one of our emailers. I don't know that there's going to be a huge connection between Snuka and Hogan. I think Vince McMahon treats each situation differently based on his personal relationship with people, his involvement in the situation, a point he might be trying to make. That said, Travis Bryant and I, a week and a half ago on the Midweek Flagship, did talk in depth about the Hulk Hogan situation. If you're interested in that topic and the controversy that should be associated with WWE bringing Hogan back, if they bring him back and glorify him as a role model, as a hero, if they do that, that's controversial. If they bring him back to work in the production truck because the guy needs a job, or they bring him back for something that doesn't involve, you know, glorifying him like they did Snuka tonight, it's less controversial. Still will be a talking point, but we got real in depth on that. And I encourage people to check that out on the live cast audio feed. You can find prior shows really easily at pwtorchlivecast.com. Pat, your thoughts on that? Any connection between how Snuka was treated and Hogan?
No, I don't think so. I mean, they were planning, you know, if the talk about Hogan started before Jimmy Snuka passed away. If they bring Hogan back and they do something where he's on the network with JBL and he basically issues an extended apology for a half hour, that's going to go over a lot better than just, you know, video packages of Hulk Hogan posing from the 1980s, obviously.
Yeah.
And, I would expect that Hogan knows that too. I mean, for everything that we've said about him, he is a little more media savvy than that.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to our next call, area code 216. Thanks for calling. Please state your name and where you're calling from. 216.
216, hello.
Barely.
Yo,
I can barely hear you.
I'm Ohio.
Hi.
You hear me now?
What's your name?
Now we can hear you.
B-Lump. B-Lump from Ohio.
Your name is
hello,
B-Lump?
B-Lump.
Seems like
B-Lump,
an odd name.
B.Lump.
B.Lump.
It's a nickname. It's a nickname I got in high school. My name is Brandon Lumpkin, but they call me B-Lump for short. So, you know.
All right, I like the backstory. Okay. I like the backstory. All right, Brandon, B-Lump, what do you got for us?
B-Lump.
Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from?
Ohio.
So I was switching back and forth between my Cavs. I'm not even going to talk about that. Between my Cavs and Raw.
Yeah, that's not. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, you got Raw next.
Right. This bugged me all night. Did anybody catch that Michael Cole called Martin Luther King the Civil Rights Champ? Anybody catch that?
I guess he did one. I'm pretty sure he said that once. Yeah, Civil Rights Champion. Yeah. I don't
know why that bugged me so much, but it did. That bugged me. I'm like, are you for real? And I feel like we give the announcers so many chances, and I know it's not them talking, and they got people in their ears, but it's like, come on, man. You got to go on the back and tell Vince, like, man, you're making me sound like an idiot over, I don't know if it's Vince or Pat or whoever is back there in his ear. You got to go back there and be like, man, y'all making me sound like an idiot right now. Like, I just for real called MLK the Civil Rights Champ on live TV. Like, I don't know why that bugged me, but that bugged me so much.
Now,
and I don't know why.
Brandon, now it could be worse. They could have sent Martin Luther King III a WWE a Civil Rights Championship belt or championship title to carry around. I mean that would have actually been worse.
And B-Lump, I like your passion on this. I want you to elaborate for listeners why that bothered you so much.
I mean, you know, just the fact how they celebrate MLK and the whole thing with Black Excellence and the thing with Big E and all that stuff. Like, I just think about all that in one thought. And it's like, come on, y'all been celebrating MLK for how long? Like, this isn't the first time that they've celebrated Martin Luther King. They've been doing this for years. So
every
it's year. Like, come on now. It's like, come on now. Y'all got a package. Y'all been saying this every year. Every time it's MLK time, you guys put on your package or you say, you know, you have his 2 seconds of his speech up or whatever. So it's like, come on now. You gonna really make that mistake and call him the Civil Rights Champ? Like, I've never even heard of that. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it sounds trite. It sounds cheesy.
Right.
I have to say, I think their heart was probably in the right place in this situation. I just think it was cheesy and bad judgment. I put this on Twitter as soon as I saw, you know, I mean, it's coming. It's Martin Luther King Day. But I said, as MLK said, do not judge WWE on the portrayal of minorities on their TV shows, but on the quality of the MLK video tributes each year. I mean, this idea that they get to celebrate Martin, they get to champion Martin Luther King and his vision with their history, you know, calling Mark Henry the silverback and just the slick character.
Right.
And I know some people have like this warm affection for him, but you shouldn't.
No.
On and on the undercurrents and the overt statements in the Triple H Booker T feud. I don't even want to recap all of it. It's just this idea that you get to put Martin Luther King up on a poster in the background during promos on Martin Luther King Day, and then have, you know, your wrestlers either called the silverback or dancing and chucking and jiving. And that's the majority of the history, or worse things like the Triple H Booker T undertones. It's just on and on. You don't get to wipe the slate clean because you play a Martin Luther King video. It feels distasteful. I don't think their heart's in the right place, because I can't imagine being that blind to how out of touch their portrayal of minorities has been the last 30 years.
I feel like with the Martin Luther King thing, and even with the Snuka thing, I feel like Vince McMahon is like, well, it's January. You know what we do around this time? Well, Snuka died, you know. Like, I don't even think he was like, you know what I'm saying? You know, I don't even think he was really thinking about the fact what Snuka did. But they pay tribute to all their superstars, and you know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm not saying I'm defending it. I am not saying that, whatever. I'm not saying I'm defending the Snuka thing, but I am saying, like, they do a little tribute to all their superstars. So it didn't really bug me that bad, like it's bugging some of your listeners, but the MLK thing kind of bugged me because, again, it didn't feel genuine or, like you said, their heart was in the right spot. It just felt like it was like, well, it's January. What we do around this time.
B-Lump, how many, quote, superstars, capital S, who died that WWF paid tribute to were indicted on murder charges, and every documentation by respectable newspapers and authors has looked into this and said that the way the initial procedure with the way the case was handled initially was fraught with error. And now, decades later, current authorities decided, even 30 years later, let's dust this off because this wasn't right what happened. Let's take this guy to trial. And the only reason it didn't go to trial is because of his declining health. How many other superstars who died that got that kind of tribute did anything near Snuka? Because to say you weren't bothered by it, I just think that has to be a lack of knowledge of the situation. Because this, you don't say, well, since they do it for everybody else, well, not everybody else was indicted on murder.
Right.
And in fairness, they don't do it for everyone else. There are people, there are wrestlers who've died for whatever reason they never ran a tribute for.
Yeah. I mean, at Snuka's level, they probably do. That might be the point. But you're right, Pat. They don't for everybody.
Yeah.
Now is Snuka going back into the Hall of Fame now? Is he going to have his place back in the Hall of Fame now?
Well, he was never out of the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he wasn't? I thought he was out of the Hall of Fame. He was never out of the Hall of Fame?
I mean, they took down whatever page they constructed for him on WWE.com, but they never said he's out of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, same thing with Hogan. Not being featured isn't technically, you know, an official announcement. You've been taken, you know, that you've been withdrawn from it. I mean, it's semantic, but I think irrelevant.
See, what they should have did was what I would have accepted instead of doing the package form, because I get it. I could have did without them doing the Snuka package. They could have just maybe, if they wanted to contribute to them in any way, they could have did it in another way, maybe do a little write-up on WWE.com. I don't know how many people go on WWE.com every day. I mean, I don't. But I would have accepted maybe something like that, because it seemed like they really wanted to pay some sort of tribute to him. I mean, do you guys think that it was bad that they said anything about him? Or, like, what exactly, like, do you think that he just shouldn't have been mentioned at all? Like, I don't want to hear nothing of him.
I think we covered it with the previous caller. I mean, I'm okay with the with the graphic at the start of the show and Jimmy Snuka and the dates and maybe leaving it at that, which they've done before. I think, you know, the video and I got to agree with Wade's assessment. It was almost, you know, defiant. I mean, it's like, here we go. We're gonna put this out there, and. You know, I mean, maybe that might have a lot to do with the fact that Vince McMahon was the one who, you know, went into the police station and talked to the police. And according to some people, tried to convince them that Jimmy Snuka didn't speak English, and got Jimmy Snuka out of jail. And we don't know all the details.
I don't want to hear that. Can't speak English. I can hear him perfectly fine when he says, "Yeah, baby." I can hear him perfectly fine. I don't want to hear that.
Well,
I can hear him perfectly fine when he's talking.
You might want to, I mean, you can go through the Torch archives, you can go on Amazon and find her much next book, but there's a long story behind that. I mean, they didn't just wake up one day and find out that Jimmy Snuka murdered someone 32 years ago.
Right. No, you're right. I agree with that. You're absolutely right about that.
B-Lum, thanks.
Definitely.
Thank you,
Thank you, guys.
Brandon.
Thank you.
You bet. Appreciate your calling.
No problem. Are we ready for another break, Wade?
Yeah. We're actually going to do our 30-minute break. Thanks for keeping me, in case I was missing it, keeping me on track here. We'll go to our break. We'll come back with more of your calls and emails. You can get online right now, 515-605-9345. I'm Wade Keller, joined by PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, we are back. I'm Wade Keller, joined by PW Torch columnist Pat McNeil. And this is the PW Torch livecast. I'll be by tomorrow night, voice willing, right after SmackDown ends. And then I'll be back on Wednesday also at 1 Eastern for the midweek flagship. If you missed last week's, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net joined me on the program. Kevin Eck, by the way, ex-WWE creative team member, did a phenomenal job on last Thursday's show with just really, really fascinating behind-the-scenes insights on the John Cena Rock feud that he was working for WWE behind the scenes during that period, and how Vince McMahon interacts with the creative team, and oh, so much more. The first hour or so of the show is available free at pwtorchlivecast.com or on our livecast feed. The second half of the interview was VIP exclusive, and that's actually where a lot of the Rock Cena and Vince stuff came in. But check it out. The free part is absolutely worth a listen. In fact, go to the archives and look up the past Kevin Eck interviews that I've done with him over at pwtorchlivecast.com. If you want to learn a lot about recent years, he's the, of all the creative team members we have on the show, John Piermarini, Matt McCarthy, Chris DeJoseph, Seth Mates, on and on. Andrew Goldstein, the most recent member of the creative team is Kevin Eck. And he has the most up-to-date anecdotes and stories from his time there. Plus, we just talked about Royal Rumble and WrestleMania speculation and booking, and hearing it from somebody who's worked behind the scenes and knows the process was really fascinating. So I encourage you to check that out, too. And I'll be by with another interview this Thursday at 1 Eastern, if all goes as planned. And then Friday, Primetime Friday, it's Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant, hopefully reunited. And, yeah, so... Anyway, Pat, were you going to jump in to talk about the Kevin Eck interview at all?
No, I just wanted to recommend it and recommend, you know, I mean, I thought Kevin was, I was very interested by Kevin's insight. And it always helps to know a little bit more about you know, the way Vince McMahon acts and is perceived behind the scenes, because we don't get to see a lot of that. And there's reasons why people have said that Vince is, you know, either different or crazy, depending on your perspective. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I do want to announce, too, speaking of the live cast, we are adding a post-Impact live call-in show. Now that Impact has new life with new ownership, Mike McMahon, who's covered Impact for PWTorch.com for quite a while, and Andrew Socek, who does the Impact Hits and Misses column starting just last month for PWTorch.com, are teaming together to do a live Thursday night show immediately after Impact, and that makes its debut this week, right after Impact ends. So for those of you who think Impact deserves more coverage and more conversation, you've got your show now here on the livecast lineup. So check out Mike McMahon and Andrew Socek for the new Thursday Impact post show. I'm excited about that. It's just the way the scheduling has worked out. We just haven't done a lot of Impact conversation based on our schedule and their schedule. And now that it seems like they'll be around for a while, we'll see. It's good to introduce the show. So support them with phone calls and live listenership as soon as Impact ends this Thursday and every Thursday. All right, back to the phone lines we go. And let's see here. We'll do a mystery caller here, a blocked call. If you're on hold, state your name and we'll repeat it. And that means you're on.
Hello?
Yep. You said hello, but that's not your name.
Oh.
Hello, caller.
Oh, my name is Sean. I'm calling from St. Albert, Alberta, Canada.
That is you.
Hi,
all right. Hey, Sean. Thanks for calling. What have you got?
How are you doing tonight?
Canada.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering, kind of touching on the stuff like with the Jimmy Snuka stuff, which just, it's just another head shaker. It's like this company just has no, like, moral or social conscience, it seems. And it just, like, do you think that obviously it's going to have to take Vince leaving, but do you think that there'll be any changes once he's actually out of the picture, or is it just going to be the same old, do you think?
I expect there to be changes once Vince is out of the picture. Now, what those changes are going to be, that's still somewhat up in the air, because you know, we know how Vince McMahon reacts to things. We're not quite sure how Stephanie McMahon and Triple H are going to react to things, although people close to them assure us that things will be different once they take over one way or the other.
Well, we know Wade? Stephanie liked quoting Biz Stone from the co-founder of Twitter at a conference a couple summers ago when she wrote, or quoted him on Twitter going, philanthropy is the future of marketing. It's the way brands are going to win, which felt kind of crass. Like, we're going to do charity work because that's how we'll win as a corporation and make more money. There's aspects, in other words, and clues that some things will be similar. But there's no doubt, Pat. It's like any, what if an assistant coach takes over for a head coach? It's never the same in sports. Whoever is working in a subservient way to somebody else has things they would do differently that they've either suggested and it's been rejected or rebuffed, or they just haven't spoken up about it because they wanted to save it for their tenure, for their run on top. And I mean, certainly if that's Triple H and Stephanie running the company at some point, now I will say Vince McMahon had said he's never stepping down and till he dies, and he's never going to die. So, Vince may outlast all of us as wrestling fans. We'll see.
I believe at least one of those two statements.
Yes, yes. Very good. Sean, I'll go back to you. Any follow-up you want for us?
No, I was just going to say that, Vince may never die, but he'll also never show any social awareness or respect for all the different minorities that he seems to, enjoy making fun of all the time. It's ridiculous. Is there a minority they haven't insulted or degraded at some point in time in the history?
Careful when it comes to the Samoans, but I don't know.
Having often seek to eat raw fish on Superstars of Wrestling in the mid-80s is one of my first exposures to WWF TV. And grunting and making noises, even though they were two articulate human beings, played into a stereotype. I'll put it that way. Sean, anything else? We're getting a ton of feedback from you on your phone. So why don't you wrap up?
The only thing I was going to say was that I did enjoy the UK tournament, and I actually thought for once that Michael Cole was actually bearable listening to him.
Yeah.
And I wish we could have that version and not the... Yeah, so... But thank you very much for your time, guys. Have a great night.
Sure. Great, yeah, thanks.
No problem.
I love the Canadian accent at the end there.
They're very polite. I'm sorry, I was trying to talk more to save your voice. But I think Bruce and I talked about this. We thought that part of the reason for it was, Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn did not make the trip over there, so they were not producing Michael Cole. And, NXT and the UK tournament and the Cruiserweight Classic, they all have sort of a different sense to them than what you see on regular WWE programming. And maybe that gives us an insight into how Triple H will act as when he's fully in charge, and maybe not. But it gives a sense of what he likes, though.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, let's go to Chris from Shoreview, Minnesota. Chris, thanks for calling again. What have you got for us?
How you guys doing tonight?
Hanging in there.
You hear me? Okay, cool. Just a couple of things I wanted to comment on that you guys are talking about. First of all, I'm really looking forward to watching the UK thing. I haven't watched it yet, but I keep hearing really good things about just the show in general and Michael Cole, and I agree with you, Pat. It's just... as simple as Vince not telling Michael Cole exactly what to say and when to say it. Just sort of letting him be himself. And I had a quick question about that.
Okay.
I thought when Michael Cole first took over for Jim Ross back in the day, I thought he was better. Is that because he was less produced then? Do you guys know anything about that?
He wasn't the priority as an announcer. The number one announcer was Jim Ross, and Jim Ross was hosting the main show back then. Michael Cole was doing a lot more secondary stuff.
When Michael Cole replaced Jim Ross for that short time when he had his first Bell's palsy incident, wasn't it, if I remember right?
When he first
took over that lead role, I thought he was better.
Right. Well, they hadn't gotten the good habits out of him yet. he hadn't learned exactly how to do the corporate speak, which I think is part of the reason that Mauro Ranallo is getting helped by Tom Phillips over on SmackDown. You need to do the corporate
sure,
speak. You need to be able to transition to transition and put those ads in there, and He's become more of what they wanted. But sure. I mean, yeah, okay. he's a professional, and I think he's a very good wrestling announcer. He's not going to be Jim Ross, and that's and that's just the way it is, because nobody's going to be Jim Ross, just like nobody's going to be Gordon Solie.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then only a couple of comments I had. I wasn't really into Raw tonight. I actually kept falling asleep, but I did enjoy the Charlotte Bailey segment. I just felt that, it was a little clunky at parts, but I felt they played off each other, and I kind of felt like Charlotte's role in that exchange sort of helped Bailey's weaknesses, because I think she gets a little excited sometimes, maybe, and she stumbles over her lines a little bit. It makes her sound very relatable and sort of ordinary, as Charlotte put it. But I just felt that they played really well off each other, and I did enjoy that part. But the rest of the show is just kind of meh. And then the other thing, I just wanted to bring up something local here. I went to the WrestlePalooza show last night, and Arya Daivari got his kind of local send-off from the WrestlePalooza crew. And I was just wondering if you've ever been to any of those.
No, I haven't. I was actually hoping to go this weekend to the show, and I was not in any condition to leave the house and get 1,000 people sick. So, no, I missed it. We've got a detailed report up on pwtorch.com. It was Saturday night, not last night. And we've got a detailed. Well, they all blended together after a while. Joel Dennell, PW Torch contributor, was on site, has a nice detailed report, including the Eric Cannon Arya Daivari main event, and Arya, I think it was his last official indie date before going back to getting a bit of a push, I guess, in WWE at this point, minus the headdress.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of that. It really was that kind of ECW arena type of send off thing for him, and I've been watching him for years, and I've talked various local events. It's cool to see him actually getting something out of WWE. I kind of thought he was, just going to be in the Cruiserweight Classic and then, just back here. But, Wade, you got to go to those. They're a lot of fun. And if my phone hadn't been dead, I probably would have sent you some results.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah,
I'll
do it next time. it seems like every time there's some sort of conflict. I mean, you can imagine my schedule. Throughout the week covering the shows in prime time and trying to balance that with some family and friends time and that kind of thing. And, it's sometimes Saturday nights are tough for me to go to wrestling shows. That said, I've targeted going a number of times, including this year. And it didn't work out because of because I just couldn't get out of bed basically on Saturday. So, anyway,
well, when you finally get out there, you'll enjoy it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, I know I will. Oh, totally. Definitely. And I've been to First Avenue for shows. I just haven't been to the WrestlePalooza ones. So, but they sound like a blast. I mean, I really feel bad. I haven't made it out there. And I love First Avenue. I have a lot of good and wild memories from that place over the years. Great concerts and great, great nights out.
I grew up on punk rock, so I was a punk rocker growing up, so I went to tons of shows at First Ave. Good times.
Yeah.
But that's all I really have for you guys tonight. I'll probably call you maybe Wednesday, or I'll call you again this week sometime.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Chris. Always good to hear from you.
Okay.
Fellow Minnesotan. You bet. Mm-hmm. Let's see who's up next here. Let's bring in Jason from Australia. Oh, you know what? I do want to read this email, and then we'll go to Jason from Australia. Gavin Carl, or Carl Gavin, says, when did the live cast become the social cast? Just talk about wrestling. So if you hear
We'd
that
like
caller.
To.
I would like. Well, the callers have guided the discussion so far, and we don't screen calls and tell people what they can and can't talk about. And we cover WWE and Monday Night Raw on the Monday Night Livecast. And guess what? WWE turned this into a discussion point, just as they did last couple weeks back when they brought up Hulk Hogan on their Bring It to the Table show. When WWE brings up these topics, we talk about them. If you want to avoid topics like this, there's plenty of podcasts that are going to be run by fanboys who just want to glorify everything WWE does, or maybe not glorify what they do, but stick to just storyline and match analysis. That's not our brand. That's not what we do. It's not what we've done since day one in the late 1980s. So you're probably listening to the wrong show if you don't want to hear comments about glorifying Jimmy Snuka or Vince McMahon's hypocrisy in celebrating Martin Luther King compared to the way he portrays minorities the last three decades. You're listening to the wrong show if you don't want to hear that, because that's going to be part of the mix. And I think our callers show that that's also a topic they want to bring up. So I welcome those discussions. I wish that we didn't have to have them, but we're not going to avoid them because it's not breaking down, you know, the Bayley Charlotte segment instead, which, by the way, we can do too, because we do five or six shows per week here. So there's plenty of, and on the VIP side, you know, 20 more. So there's plenty of time to talk about everything is also my larger point. All right, Jason from Australia, you are up. Eager to talk to you again. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks, Wade and Pat. Look, I'll get right into it. I've got a few points I wanted to raise. First of all, Kurt Angle, I don't know about everyone else, but I'm just so happy that he's back in the WWE. I mean, he was one of my true favorites. And leading up to the announcement and that video package, that gave me goosebumps. And I'm really happy for him. And I just wonder, who's the favorite out there at the moment to induct him? Would it be a Triple H? Would it be an Edge? I mean, who would it be? McMahon, maybe?
I would throw Brock Lesnar's name in there, too.
I agree with you, Pat. Like, it'd be cool, but Brock's not going to – he's not going to – first of all, if he goes to the Hall of Fame for Kurt, I think he should, and that'd be great. But I don't think Brock's the type who wants to stand at a podium and introduce somebody like Kurt. I just don't think that's his thing. Do you think he would – I mean, it's typically not his thing. Maybe Kurt would be the exception.
You know what? Paul Heyman could probably do it.
Paul Heyman could give the best Hall of Fame introduction speech for anybody. I mean, that's how good he is. I'm not sure that that's who fans would think would make the most sense. You know, I mean, Kurt walked out on ECW because of that cross angle that he was offended by when he attended an ECW show before he became a pro wrestler. I mean, I'm not saying that defines their relationship or anything like that, but that's about the only real connection.
John Cena
could do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll take the pause as a moment to interject this. I don't think there's an obvious single person that I've heard of yet. If we're missing that single obvious person, let me know. I'm not in favor of Shane McMahon or Paul Heyman. Brock's good in theory, but yeah, I mean, you know, Edge had some great matches with him. John Cena's not bad, you know, because it's nice to have him give Hall of Fame speeches because he's such a face of the company.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Go ahead, Jason.
I like the idea of John Cena, actually, Pat, because I mean, you could say that was in a way sort of a passing of the torch, you know, Kurt Angle to John Cena. He had that moment. I think Cena would give a great speech. I mean, Cena is good at that type of thing, and you know, he's the biggest star in their company. And to induct Kurt Angle, you know, if they did want to go down the path of a Jim Ross or whatnot, I think John Cena would be a great pick. But I guess for me, moving on, I say this tongue-in-cheek, but I also say it seriously. I thought the last 5 minutes of Raw and the no commentary that was involved really sold the Royal Rumble for me. There was just something to the silence. The power bombing, the pedigree that Seth Rollins gave to Jericho, the silences in the crowd. I felt like I was at the event. And I think they're onto something here. I would like to see them offer pay-per-views on the WWE Network where you can choose not to have the commentary. So to be like you're at the actual event. I think they're onto something there. It really sold it for me. What did you guys think?
I like that idea. I mean, if you could hear the crowd, yeah. Pat, but not the announcers.
Yeah, I would be in favor of that as an experiment, and I expect that they'll get to the point where they do it more regularly. I think that there was a thing. I want to say Ring of Honor did it at one point where you could turn off the commentary track on their DVDs, and just or maybe it was PWG. I don't remember which, but yeah, I mean there are indie promotions where you've been able to turn off the commentary track on DVDs. I think we'll get to that point with the network at some point.
Gabe Sapolsky did a main event in Ring of Honor where there was no announcing period, which was a bit of a social experiment. Yes.
Yeah, and it was, and when it was affected, I think it worked though, because it was such a, it's such a contrast to 3 hours of yammer, and you know, it's to the point that you almost tune these guys out. So yeah, I mean that is a good point. You know, silence can be effective.
Right, and for me, it just helped not hearing, oh, and the big dog came back with a spear, oh, Superman punch, you know, it just allowed to play out as if you're actually there. Another point I wanted to raise, so I asked you guys this question. Listen, I'm not really convinced that I want to see Goldberg versus Lesnar at WrestleMania. It's just, I can understand them going to that match, but I don't know about WrestleMania. I mean, I don't mind if I actually saw that at Fastlane. The reason I asked this question, right, a bit twofold to it, if you had to pick the ideal opponent for Roman Reigns at this year's WrestleMania, assuming that he wins the Universal title, who do you think would be the best opponent for him?
I mean, most effective? I mean, you're probably, you know, I mean, best opponent and most effective would probably be Cena again. But that's, you know, I don't know that they're going to go that way. And I don't know, I mean, but plus I think whoever is against Roman Reigns is going to get cheered anyway, most likely.
All right.
To me, all the ideal matches are Roman Reigns turning heel first. So it changes things up. And I think they want to respect the brand lines also, which is somewhat limiting. But I mean, I'm not all that against Roman against Braun Strowman either. I'm not, from a pure storyline standpoint, I don't like to make WrestleMania matches only based on what has a chance to be 4 stars. I just think that's too narrow. I think there's room for just matchups where the characters fit. But at this point, I think Braun might be a cult favorite who would get cheered against Roman too. But that storyline wise, it just kind of puts Roman in a way, it frees up everybody else to not be against Braun or Roman also. So we'll end up with a better Undertaker match and a better, you know, whatever. I mean, everybody else kind of can pair off and in matchups that'd be better. But storyline wise, I mean, the way they built Braun into a monster, the thing is I think they're going to want to protect Braun until he gets to Lesnar. And so, but Vince is going to want to put Roman clean, oh, is going to want to put him over clean at Mania. And so I don't think that Braun gets fed to Brock before Mania. So then you got some challenges there. I mean, it's a good problem to have, I guess, in a way when it comes to that situation.
I guess for me, what I'd like to see, right? I mean, I've got two scenarios, right? And I agree with you, Roman turning heel. I wouldn't mind seeing The Undertaker winning the Royal Rumble and actually challenging Roman Reigns for the Universal title. I know they're crossing brands, although if The Undertaker does belong to SmackDown, but it does boost up the prestige of the Universal title to say that The Undertaker wants that championship because he hasn't won it before. And then maybe if he beats Roman Reigns, Reigns could turn heel afterwards. The other match I wouldn't mind seeing, and I know this will probably be unpopular, but I felt like Reigns gained a lot with the WrestleMania 31 match against Lesnar until Seth Rollins came in. Because if you go back and watch that match, and I remember reading the reviews and watching it myself thinking, you know, they've done a really good job here with Reigns in this match. He took a beating from Lesnar. He kept coming back. He smiled a bit. And I thought the crowd was going with him. Then the whole thing got undercut by Rollins cashing in. And I thought that did damage to Reigns. I wouldn't mind them towing up, putting a bow over that whole feud and having Reigns versus Lesnar for the Universal title and Reigns actually going over Lesnar clean. That was the original plan. I don't know why Vince hedged his bets, but you know what? If you're going to go with Reigns as a babyface and Vince is convinced and that's what we have to work with, I think you want him defeating Lesnar clean. I think you want that on his resume so then Reigns can have that to build on further down the track. Now you say, okay, well, do that. What do you do with Lesnar Goldberg? I wouldn't mind seeing Lesnar winning the Rumble, Goldberg challenging Lesnar at Fastlane for the Rumble main event spot, Lesnar going over Goldberg, Goldberg then coming out saying, you know what, I gave it my best shot, I retire. Then maybe have a Rusev come out and challenge Goldberg at WrestleMania saying that you're past it, I knew you weren't good, now I want an opportunity to finish you off. Then you might get, say, a prominent heel Rusev in a big match against Goldberg. Just a couple of scenarios out there that try and work in some other things. Because, like I said, for me, Lesnar-Goldberg at Mania, I'm not sure it's going to have that same appeal as what it had at Survivor Series. I wouldn't mind getting that over and done with that Fastlane. But, you know, that's just my opinion.
Go ahead, Pat.
Okay. Okay, Jay. Now, I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that we're really the target audience that Vince is going after. I mean, they could do it at Fastlane, and maybe if WWE gets antsy, or maybe if their network numbers are lower than they want, they'll push that forward. I agree with you on Reigns and Lesnar. It's something we've talked about before, that you know they had at WrestleMania 31, they had the fans, you know, getting behind Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar. They had the fans into it, but I think that Vince was gun shy because of the reaction that Reigns had been getting up until then, which is why they had Seth Rollins run in and win the title.
And then what happened from them? You know, Rollins, you could argue, got booked horribly as a heel champion. I mean, he was in the background with the Authority. He never won a match. So he gets injured, comes back, should have turned babyface, turns babyface too late. You could argue that Rollins, the booking, has made him spinning the wheels for the good part of 2 years. I mean, I guess hindsight's a wonderful thing, but in hindsight being 2020, it actually would have made sense for Reigns to go over. He actually may have come out as a better babyface, having shown he could take a beating from Lesnar and actually beat him. And you also could have taken advantage of the equity of the year before of Lesnar defeating Taker. It just seems like, you know, in hindsight, Vince may have made the wrong decision there.
Yeah, there's a lot of WWE decisions that with hindsight, you know, don't make a lot of sense. I mean, but yeah.
And I know, I think Seth Rollins, it might be, it'd be an interesting like column idea, Pat. the worst booked wrestlers of the past 10 years or the past 3 years. I mean, sadly, you could probably do one in the past year.
You could,
But you know, rank, you know, the biggest missed opportunities due to bad booking. And I mean, who else is even in the conversation with Seth? Part of it is just bad timing. You know, Finn Balor going down, forcing Vince, well, it's not forcing, but prompting Vince McMahon as a desperation measure to turn Seth babyface. But, you know, just after a few months of Seth reinforcing he was a heel, he lost, I mean, I was in the building in New Jersey for that Extreme Rules return of Seth at the very, very end of the pay-per-view. I mean, that was a Stone Cold Steve Austin pop. That was amazing in that crowd. People were just about ready to give up on the show and stand up and leave. I think I was standing, actually, when Seth ran out, you know, kind of getting my, you know, gathering my stuff and get ready to leave. But people went apeshit for him. And that got lost. And he has not. Had they run with it then, it would have been special, even with how poorly booked he was as a lackey for the Authority. But boy, that the babyface turn as the jilted lover where Hunter and Stephanie chose Kevin Owens over him is one of the worst babyface turns in modern history.
It was, it did not go well.
There was that Hockenschmidt turn in 42 that I think was worse. No, I'm just joking. But.
I
remember
that one,
Wade.
Yeah. Thank you, Wade. I mean, there are wrestlers you can think of who were booked worse, but none of them who main evented WrestleMania.
You could argue, you know, Jinder Mahal has been pushed worse, or Jack Swagger, but I mean they had something and they lost it, or they pushed somebody in a top position so poorly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to push somebody badly, like Titus O'Neil. You're like, well, my God, I'd rather be Seth than Titus. Well, yeah, but they're positioning Titus as a joke. And with Seth, like, they expect him to be a draw. They want him to be seen as a top-tier guy, and they push him as a babyface the way that they do. It's amazing. So, Jason, anything else to bring up?
Yeah, I guess you're looking at an era. I guess, you know, an interesting way to look at it is the network era. You know, since the network, have they changed their philosophy month by month? You know, what have they done? Who's been the worst? Who's been the best push since the network era? Because that's going to give you a good, you know, 2 to 3 years since then. Another point I wanted to raise with Raw, I really feel sorry for the Cruiserweights. I think, you know, the point behind having the purple robes and the different mat as if to say, okay, there's something special and they stand out. But I actually think it works in the opposite. To me, it comes across like a channel changer that it's not part of Raw. Why can't they just have the same color robe? Just treat them like normal. Here's the Cruiserweights. They're part of Raw. Why do they have to have the sort of the pat
on
the head?
Jason, they're not normal. They're under 5'10". That's not a normal
human
being. They're small. They're athletic. They're tenacious. But they're not normal people. Come on, Jason.
Seriously,
you know,
normally I have
a... Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Excuse me for wanting to make a bit of money for the company, you know.
Exactly.
Wanting to promote these guys.
Come on, what are you thinking? Money?
Conor McGregor's not normal either. Yeah. He's a little guy. Floyd Mayweather, little guy. Not normal. Yeah, no. Oh, Jason, you're completely right. I mean, the whole purple thing and the handshake and its own logo. I mean, I think they mistook this pomp and circumstance of we're going to make a big deal, we're going to show we're committed to the division by giving it its own color and its own branding and its own kind of social mores of shaking hands and all that was a sign of commitment and trying to show that, you know, that wink, hey, we get it, you Ardent fans, you know, the handshake and Ring of Honor and all of that. It's like, no, just have them treat them like they are a regular part of the mix. And I agree, it would be better. The key to the cruiserweights mattering is not telling all the hardship stories about their lives. It's not giving them a purple color. It's finding a superstar and portraying them as a star and not apologizing for it or treating them as, quote, special and different.
Yeah, that's just
now,
crazy
correct
thought.
Me if I'm wrong, but was Stephanie or Mick Foley on the show tonight?
No, and I know Mick Foley's off because of his surgery, but no, Stephanie was nowhere to be seen on TV.
Ah, now, I was wondering why I was in a bit of a good mood. That is why.
Yeah.
Because, wait, I heard someone write into you on the Waikella hotline asking, is Stephanie the number one reason why SmackDown's a better show?
Yes.
And when I read that description, I just said, yes, of course, there's your answer.
Yeah, I had fun with that. I was like, let's. I don't know, what I do, talk for like 8 minutes on that? It was like, it might be, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon.
But there
me,
are
that
other,
was a 20-second reply.
Yeah,
I know.
Well, Jason, I'm sorry, I talked over you.
Thanks. No, I was just going to say, to me, that was like a 10 to 20 second reply. Is SmackDown a better show because there's no Stephanie? Yes, it is. It is a better show because of that. Thank you.
No, there's no doubt that Stephanie on Raw is a big hindrance, and for a lot of reasons that we've harped on for years here on the live cast and the Waikeller Hotline, as you bring up. That said, I think it's shortchanging some of the subtle things that SmackDown does better that add up, and it shortchanges some of the presentation and talent and booking differences between the shows. So I don't want to be too cute about it because, you know, it's a fun answer to say yes and leave it at that. But I think that there's actually some real things to study and about SmackDown that make it better, even if you subtract Stephanie from Raw. That said, Raw was a better show without Stephanie this week than with. Jason,
yes,
thanks
for going to say, wait, you know, 3 hours is 3 hours is pretty long for a show, isn't it?
Unless it's a Bruce Mitchell audio show.
Yes, but, well, it is long.
You missed the point.
What's that, Jason? I did miss your point.
Sorry. I was saying 3 hours is pretty long for a show. I was just playing into our discussion from last week where I was defending it. Now I'm acknowledging it, and you completely ruined the punchline. So
I did. I feel terrible because I've been, I spent 5 days thinking about it, and then I finally got it out of my mind the last 2 days, and now you bring it back. Thanks, Jason.
In fairness,
sorry.
Three
yeah,
hours,
now, now,
yeah.
Sorry, Pat.
Okay. Thanks, Jason. No, it's okay.
All right.
I agree that 3 hours is a long time for a TV show, but it's not as long as 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, God. Yeah, let's not forget. You know, maybe we need to start just negotiating the overrun. Maybe we can compromise there. That actually would just in and of itself be an improvement. I can't believe I'm saying that because I'm always kind of critical of the idea of how does a match just happen to end at the top of the hour when the show is live? That makes it seem so fake. But, you know, 3 hours, 1 minute. Two hours, 57 minutes, whatever. A little give and take there is fine. But a 5 or 10 minute overrun. Remember when they were doing 20 minute overruns regularly, Pat?
Yes. Yes, I do.
God, I guess we got to be grateful. Grateful for at least not
That's
that
true.
Anymore. In response to...
They shaved off 5 minutes.
In response to our email, Gavin Carl, Dan Olson on Twitter says, I enjoy what I get when I listen to the voices from the torch. I love the deep dive you're willing to take. Thank you, Dan. And by the way, I do welcome feedback. So don't feel bad if you're like, I don't like today's show. I wish you guys talked more. But I'm going to respond, too. So if you got, I'm not going to tell you to STFU, but I am going to, or boycott. But I'm going to tell you why we do what we do in response, if especially when the callers are guiding us on today's show in that respect, too. A wrestling question to keep Gavin happy here, Pat. Donald from Aberdeen, Washington emails. Interesting finish for the tag title match. Seemed like they were trying to get Gallus and Anderson over with that finish. but they were still portrayed as heels by giving Sheamus a post-match finishing move. Where do you think WWE is going with Gallows and Anderson? After watching some old New Japan matches, I feel they're wasting their talent. Maybe it's Gallows' lame pants that are holding them back. Pat?
I don't know where they're going with them, because you would think the law of averages, they would have captured the title by now, or moved them over to SmackDown. I just don't think that Vince McMahon is excited about them. He just sees these two guys who are in a tag team, and I think that's what you're going to need before. I think he's going to need to get behind them before they switch the tag titles to them. But I'm sure they want to have Cesaro and Sheamus break up and feud again, but they have to have another team to take the titles back. And I don't think that they're feeling Gallows and Anderson, and they have tried a lot of different stuff with them.
Yeah, the Dusty finish tonight was interesting, Pat. I'm not anti-Dusty finish once every 2 years.
And it was a TV match. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I'm against it when it's a crutch or a cop-out finish. In this case, I mean, I think it kind of worked because Gallows and Anderson kind of got, you know, even though it was a tainted victory, they got to score a pinfall to forward the feud, and they kind of need it. You know, I mean, they've been booked so poorly. I bet there's some people yelling at us when I was talking about Seth being the worst booked act in WWE in the network era, as you suggested,
right,
Pat. A lot of people would say Gallows and Anderson. Some people would argue Kevin Owens, by the way. And I mean, there's a case to be made for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they would. Or Roman Reigns, just the fact that they're not booking him as a heel.
That's true.
Full circle.
Yeah. Gallows and Anderson, though, I mean, getting just the visual of scoring the pin works. I didn't have a problem with that match and even bringing out the Dusty finish. I just worry sometimes, you know, once people are like, oh, the Dusty finish, and then all the producers start, you know, saying, let's do that here, let's do that there, and it gets overdone.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen at this point. I do have there's a question from Twitter. The guy also sent you something on Twitter. This is Mike again. Why not advertise Hall of Fame announcements on TV or a network special? Why give it away on social media? Love the show. They didn't give the Kurt Angle announcement away on social media. They gave it away to ESPN.
Pat, when is the torch going to get to break? Going to get to break a story like that? How did ESPN get that scoop, do you think?
Well, maybe when we're not talking about the Jimmy Snuka thing on Twitter,
Maybe ESPN is talking about Jimmy Snuka because they got the Kurt Angle scoop, and maybe they won't be tomorrow because they got the Angle scoop. That's going to be interesting.
I know. I can almost guarantee they won't be talking about it on Wednesday when Kurt Angle's there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, there's different journalistic relationships. And anyway, all right. Don't want to harp on that too much. Speaking of Kurt, though. Miguel Cortez says, hey guys, I just wished to comment on the WWE selecting Kurt Angle for the Hall of Fame. Great choice for headliner. In your view, all things considered, who else should be inducted this year? Who else do you think WWE will induct for the class of 2017? Pat?
Okay. I have heard that one of the names that's going to be in this year, they always have a female name. It's going to be Beth Phoenix, Mrs. Edge now, is supposed to be getting inducted this year.
I got to jump in, even though I hesitate to. I was inducted into the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Waterloo, Iowa, the same year that Beth Phoenix was. We're in the same class in the Fez Tragos Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So that'd be I'll be in this year too if she is.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you could. I mean, we could see you in Orlando. That would be something.
Yes.
Yeah, obviously before the Kurt Angle news came out, they were talking about Diamond Dallas Page being the headliner. I wouldn't be surprised if Page got inducted, you know, primarily for the service he's done trying to rehab and do yoga with other retired WWE wrestlers who he's done a lot for them, and he's been very helpful, and I can see them doing that. Trying to think of who else is on the list here. I mean, there's a lot of names that have been floated, but those are I think those are going to be the top three. There's probably a nostalgia act.
I don't care about all the politics. Put Demolition in. They talked about him so much in the last year. Just, you know, bury that hatchet. They buried the hatchet with Bruno and with Ultimate Warrior, and heck, with Sable and Brock Lesnar, Rina Mero and Brock Lesnar.
And
Rina
with
Lesnar,
Kurt Angle,
Brock
for that matter.
And Kurt Angle spent, you know, years in TNA. And you know, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's, you know, each of them, Demolition members have their issues with WWE, but they spend so much time talking about that record with New Day. It just seems like this would be a good year to induct them and get it out of the way, because I think from WWE standards, they belong. You know, they were the most successful Road Warrior knockoff act that ever came around. You could maybe argue Nikita Koloff, but that was different.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I would like to, you know, I think I did an article about this some years ago. I would like to see King Kong Bundy in. I know he rubs people the wrong way, and they you know, they have issues with him, but it would get that out of the way.
I don't know how many guys headlined a WrestleMania against Hulk Hogan, and headlined a house shows against Hulk Hogan, and had the run that he had even outside of the WWF in Georgia and the AWA and more in world class. I mean, he had enough of a career that I think he hits that threshold, Pat, when you're trying to find somebody from a certain era. I won't say it's a no-brainer, but I mean, he gets a yes vote for me on the WWE Hall of Fame standards and criteria.
Yeah, I mean, I know they have very stringent standards, which is whatever, you know, Vince, you know, they send Vince a sheet with a bunch of names on it, and he checks the ones he wants. But, yeah, I mean, that would be nice. And, you know, I've also said Leilani Kai should be in, just, you know, based on how long she was in WWE, and because, I mean, they've inducted all the other quote-unquote pioneers. But,
All right, as far as the induction goes for Kurt, we had William Wellick email and say, what about Bruno Sammartino to keep the Pittsburgh connection?
That would be a good idea if Bruno's up for it. I don't see why not. Let's see. Somebody pointed this out to me. Another name that's on the list for this year, and I can't believe I forgot about this as a possibility, is William Regal.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and boy, does he deserve it. I mean, on so many levels. Yeah. I mean, I think if you've got Angle, Regal, DDP as your top three, I mean, from then, it's just sort of, you know, filling it in with people that Vince wants to, Vince either feels pressure to do or wants to induct because they've got, you know, enough of a history of WWE headlining or being significant acts with the company. I mean, I think those three is enough. I mean, I guess if you had Demolition or one other kind of,
they're gonna add somebody who's passed away, and you know, that's probably a good idea. But I think that's a very good lineup.
Yeah. I think no one's gonna headline over Kurt Angle, and I think Regal and DDP are a good third and fourth who can pass for second and third. If that makes sense.
Right.
No,
it does.
Yeah. All right, very good. Let's go to another mystery caller here. If you are on hold, state your name, and we'll tell you if it's you, and we'll go from there.
My name is Craig from Toledo, Ohio.
Craig from Toledo, you are on the air. Go ahead with your question or comment.
I was just wondering if you guys noticed Brock Lesnar was on the show tonight.
They sure hyped that. He didn't really have much to say about his loss to Goldberg. They made it seem like this is going to be, you know, a therapy session. We're going to find out what Brock has to say about this, as Cole called it, this humiliating defeat at the hands of Goldberg. And, you know, it was an angle, but that was it. I mean, it's like, Pat, it's like Brock has a rule. He will only spend 10 minutes in the arena.
Well, I mean, if that's how he's getting paid, then, you know, that explains it.
Maybe they
legitimately are paying him by the hour.
Or by the minute, yeah. Craig, go ahead.
That was what my question was. That's what my question was about, was how much are these appearances costing? Because, I mean, I know his contract, he has, like, a limited amount of appearances left, like, to show up on Raw or to have matches and whatever, and they're all on different scales. Do you guys have any idea what the actual scale is?
Yes, I asked Paul Heyman, and he sent me the contract, but he asked me not to share it.
I'm told, Craig, if you have to ask, you can't afford it.
No, I mean, here's the thing. Brock is not paid per appearance. he's paid X amount for X number of appearances. So once they use up those appearances, then that puts, and I mean, it's semantics, but I want to be clear on it. They don't have this open-ended contract where, hey, if you need me, give me a call. I'll come in for $100,000. They worked out a deal, grand total, X matches, X number of appearances on Raw. Anything above that puts the ball in Brock's court, and he gets to decide if it's worth his trouble or not for the money they're willing to offer. So they're just, you know, using up the dates that they agreed to ahead of time.
But the number of appearances, though, it's like, say, how, you know, however many are left on the contract. Like, if he has 20 appearances left on Raw for however long the contract is or whatever.
Yeah.
Was tonight worth it for anybody?
Well, they advertised him. You know, I mean, right. I mean, whatever ratings they were going to get out of him has nothing to do with how much he said. That's a matter of building goodwill with your audience, that you don't overhype things and underdeliver. But in a short-term basis, you got to see Brock, you know, suplex poor Sami Zayn and F5 Roman Reigns. I mean, it was 3 hours ago. I can't remember even all the, everything Brock did. I mean, it's not like when he was in Minneapolis and he stood there as Paul Heyman tried to turn the crowd against him and then they left. I mean, this, you know, I would say this rates, you know, 25 times better than that, even if it isn't the promo that maybe people were hoping for, you know, trying to sell us on what he's going to do to Goldberg in the Rumble. Pat?
Yeah, I mean, this is, we at least got some physical activity out of him this time. And they did actually replay it twice just to make sure that, you know, everybody saw we did have Brock Lesnar on the show and he did throw people around.
Yeah, very true.
Like the Sasha and Nia thing.
Yeah. Anything else, Craig?
That's it. Thank you, guys.
Cool. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Speaking of Bayley, Brian Hamilton emailed, Teams WWE is trying to take Bayley back to her every woman roots. Was tonight a step in the right direction to begin rehabilitating her character? Pat?
I think the part where Bayley talked, yeah, it was. They might have, you know, they took a long way to get Charlotte to where she wanted to be with having her, you know, I mean Bayley, she's average and she's a sports entertainment fan. She's been a sports entertainment fan her whole life. I mean, that's just awful. You know, that sounds like something that Vince McMahon would come up with.
Yes, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else big on the show we didn't cover, Pat, that I want to get your opinion on. What do you think of Alicia Fox, Cedric, and Noam Dar on that love triangle?
I would love for it to end. I mean, I'm glad that they didn't make Cedric Alexander into the chump who took Alicia Fox back after all that. Because I was worried.
How about your quick take on Titus O'Neil trying to get in the Rumble? Jason Powell over at ProSync.net wrote his take on it, which is normally he's against babyfaces putting up major stipulations with no incentive in return. But as he pointed out, it's a pretty big incentive for Titus to stop DMing you.
Yeah.
As he agreed to do.
It was also low risk, I think.
Because New Day has no chance to win the Rumble. That's another reason.
Well, there's that too. I'm waiting for the storyline where Titus gets two other guys. I'm waiting for Titus to get two other guys and create his own fake New Day and go after them, and they have a somewhat serious feud because the New Day is really spinning their heels. They need something.
I think the ironic comment of the night award goes to we're talking about Bayley and Charlotte. Charlotte reading all the poetry and Saxton said he's glad the public smear campaign is over. Charlotte has no shame or respect. And Corey Graves said the WWE universe deserves to know who they are cheering for.
That's
and
right.
I thought on a show that paid tribute to Jimmy Snuka, just to go full circle on the show today, Pat, that was quite the ironic comment. Cause that video package, you know, it's like they were willing to they put out a DVD about the real truth on Ultimate Warrior. Had Bret Hart not agreed to come back into the fold and play nice, there was going to be a very different DVD on Bret Hart. There have been other instances where WWE has not shied away from the controversial aspects of some of their talent. Now, it's probably not something that they'd want to put on Raw for various reasons that, as you read more about the case, you will understand, or the whole situation you'll understand. But that said, I sort of felt like if you're going to do that with Snuka, maybe tell the story. You know, and say, hey, not his career was not without controversy. And I think the audience acknowledging the legal process that was underway and the fact that he was going to go to trial, if not for his declining health, I think they would have earned some credit with the audience for bringing that up.
Probably, yeah. It would have seemed a little more balanced. On Twitter, Wade, we got Sean Sangervazi, who says that Rick Rude is also rumored to be in the Hall of Fame this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, you said, you know, yeah, somebody who's died. Rude absolutely is a Hall of Famer, and I think it's time to induct him. Yeah. And I think Scott Hall comes to mind as someone who should induct him, because I know from interviewing Scott Hall multiple times, I've probably interviewed Scott Hall for over a dozen hours total. And Rick Rude, it becomes really clear as one of his mentors and one of his influences and someone he just respects greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Scott would do a hell of a introductory promo for Rude. Of course, it depends, you know, if they felt confident Scott would be able to show up and in condition to give a proper speech. And I just haven't kept tabs on Scott's sobriety, you know. So,
right.
Quick take from you on the Emelina vignette. My theory is that they're holding off because she's gaining weight and she's going to show up in a really small bikini, but 40 pounds overweight.
My theory is that they're waiting for her contract to expire. I have no idea what they're holding off on. Maybe they just don't have any ideas. Maybe this is a parody of Eva Marie, which, you know, it could be possible.
Yeah.
Not sure. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, unless you got anything else to add, Pat, we can end on that note. We're getting close to a 90-minute mark here.
If anybody has any suggestions for Wayback Playback for the next couple of weeks, we're wrapping up Jim Valley and I are wrapping up Royal Rumble 97 this coming weekend, and want to know your ideas as to what we should cover next.
I'd say let's put nominations in for another Royal Rumble. Let's just go all in for the Royal Rumble season. Let's pick another big Royal Rumble year. Maybe Ric Flair 92. Was it 92?
We already did that one.
Oh, yeah.
We did that one.
You're right. Yeah.
I
just put that up in the in our Royal Rumble section that is part of our VIP sale, Pat. Can you believe it? What a transition. I did put together the Royal Rumble page for VIP members. If you go to the ad-free PWTorchVIP.com site and you go to the top menu in the top upper left, right above our logo, it says VIP newsletters and articles, and the next to it, VIP audio. There's a drop menu. It has all our audio shows listed. The top category is now Royal Rumble Collection. And I just put that together this weekend in my sick bed with my laptop and put together all the shows. And we do have the 1997 WWF Royal Rumble match that, Pat, you were just talking about. And we also have the 2000 Royal Rumble on
that
flashback page. So those are the 92, 97, and 2000. Are those the three you've done, or have you done others?
No, we've actually also done the first one, 1988.
Oh, that's right. Yep. So those are all either part of or will be part of the Royal Rumble collection, along with the show that you did last weekend with Greg Parks, listing in order the worst and best, the worst to best, ranked the worst to best Royal Rumble matches from the last 10 years, and all post roundtable. So that is available as a separate RSS feed, by the way. And it's the same RSS feed as all the shows, but it's /RR. The Royal Rumble feed, by the way, or excuse me, the WrestleMania feed is /WM. And you can find all of the RSS feeds for all of our VIP show collections, themes, and shows and groupings at the VIP audio tips link, which is also on that red strip at the top of the VIP website. If you're not VIP, 99 cents, 2 minutes of your time.
Yep.
If you listen this far, you like what we do enough, unless you're just totally sick of us by now, to check out what all comes with the VIP membership. And as I mentioned, the place to go is pwtorch.com/govip, coupon code RUMBLE17. No space, no caps, RUMBLE17. That takes $9.01 off a $10 first month for your subscription, or you can take that $901 off of a 3-month or 1-year sub. We'd love to have you as a member. I think you will absolutely devour what we have to offer, and you will become addicted to our coverage and everything that VIP members get above and beyond what we do here at the live cast and on our free website. And for 99 cents, you just can't lose. And you can bring it with you on your smartphone, all our audio shows, all our podcasts, our podcast app compatible. And we have an ad-free website. We have instructions on creating a home screen button, so you can basically create an app, an ad-free app for all our VIP content, including all the daily content that normally has ads on pwtorch.com, and nearly 30 years of archives, over 1,400 back issues, including tons of coverage on every major story that you can think of in every major event since the late 1980s. So check it out, pwtorch.com/govip, coupon code RUMBLE17, RUMBLE17. You can figure out why we did that, and you win a prize. Pat, anything else?
No, a lot of fun talking to you guys. We'll probably do this again next Monday.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat. Thanks to our callers. Thanks to our emailers. I will put on Twitter in a half hour how swollen my throat is from talking more than I planned. I just can't help myself. But, Pat, I hope I deferred to you at least 5 to 10% more than usual.
I would say you did, and,
okay,
and I appreciate
well,
it.
I appreciate it, too. Thanks, everybody. Let's queue up the VIP plug. Here's some details on those retro radio shows. Really cool stuff that comes with these. In fact, let me look up before we go here what the last Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show was. Jim Ross. That's right. Jim Ross was John Arezzi's guest on the latest Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show that went up last Thursday for VIP members from May 31st, 1992. Yes, almost 25 years ago, a radio show very similar in style to this. John Arezzi and I and the whole Torch, we've got a similar approach to how we covered wrestling. John did a phenomenal job. And this was the week that the news broke that Elizabeth was filing divorce from Randy Savage. And it was also a Jim Ross live for the majority of the show talking about the hiring of Bill Watts as executive vice president, some changes they were making in the WCW Saturday Night format, undoing the disastrous changes previous vice president Kip Fry made. So that went up the week before Dave Meltzer and I were John's guest reviewing WCW War Games and also the hiring of Bill Watts as VP. Tom Zenk was a guest of John the week before that. Paul Heyman was on the week before that. All of that comes with the VIP membership. Here are more details on those retro radio shows. As a PW Torch livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch livecast Saturday morning wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member.